Why are businesses like HelloVet choosing Apple products and services?
So we started the business 2 years ago. We had a few people who were used to PCs, and this was their first foray into Macs. But it's been super smooth getting everyone onto those devices, and everyone seems really, really happy.
Find out how Mac can help you run and grow your business at apple.co/HelloVet.
Psychedelics, consciousness, awakening. Are these sacred tools helping us evolve, or are they just helping us escape? Today, we dive deep with the spiritual bodybuilder, author of The Indigo Flame. Before we get started, quick shout out to Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio for your sponsorship. And to our fans, please do not forget to like and subscribe. Please stay till the end. This is going to be an episode you do not want to miss. Nahum, it is so good to see you. I'm so pumped to talk about this.
Lisa, thank you for having me on again. I'm so stoked to get in this with you. Very, very passionate topic for me.
Yeah, and I was just saying, you look great. Love the vest. And you're going to be talking about this vest on the episode. So I can't wait to hear more about it.
Oh, yeah. All kinds of fun stuff coming up.
Yeah, at first it was just a statement piece. I was telling you, you looked good and I loved your look, but you're like, it's actually this special vest. So
there's a story to everything, you know, like everything is intentional.
Yeah, I agree. So you wrote the book called The Indigo Flame. So what inspired the book?
My life. Let me be more specific. So actually, I've been writing this book for a little over 10 years. Initially, when I first started getting into astrology, this astrology reading that I got identified that I was going through my Jupiter. Jupiter was in my third house, and I didn't know what any of that meant at the time. But as I started doing more research, and I started asking questions, like, you know, it was a perfect time to write a book, right? And at this time, I had already been through all my stuff in Iraq, and I had been doing some bodybuilding, and I was getting into massage school at the time. I hadn't gotten into plant medicine yet, but I was like, well, I'm gonna write a book, because, you know, it's supposed to be that way. You know, didn't really work out that way, but there was important lessons that I had to learn in order to be able to fully come, you know, full throttle. Ironically, it's 12 years later, and Jupiter is again in my third house, but now I'm actually. So what happened was, I tried writing this book, and I would write it, erase it, write it, erase it, write it. And I was, you know, I was trying to figure out how to get the information, the message out there about whatever, about my, really my life, right? But I noticed that I would write something, and I would write it as a victim, or I would write it complaining, or I was still in the middle of the problem, right? And I didn't really understand it at that time until layers down the road, where I finally made sense and I could fully go through the full process of the story in a fully observational mode and understand the lessons that I learned from it. So I would write it, stop, back and forth for years. I put it down. I wrote three other books from it. Then I erased those. I was all over the place, right? It wasn't until this last year where everything kind of stopped, and I had been through a massive, massive amount of stuff from that point. I mean, that was really probably the deepest part of the book happened in the last 12 years, right?
Right.
So I, you know, everybody goes through their own cycles, right? Some people will get cancer, and then when they figure out how to beat the cancer, they write a book about what they learned, about their spiritual growth and getting rid of the cancer and keeping it off, right? Different things like that. So I didn't really understand at the time, but now I do, is that my cycle of learning wasn't done. And I had to go through many, many more levels and layers of learning so that I could sit with myself and see what life was trying to teach me. So finally, I got to that point where I could lay out my entire life, everything up until literally a year ago. And I was able to observe it and write it down from a place where I had forgiveness for people that have hurt me or done me wrong. Because I realized that everything, we attract everything in our life for a reason.
Right.
And I was able to see my part that I played in it, their part that they played, and what the greater human level learning lesson was. And through being able to share those learned lessons, I feel is my gift to humanity. And coming into this podcast in particular, we're going to go into one of the deepest, most profound, transformative pieces of my entire life, which is plant medicine.
Wow. So can you share your first experience or moment that maybe even sparked your curiosity about psychedelics and consciousness? Do you remember that moment?
Well, when I was a teenager, I did like a bunch of acid, and I've always loved psychedelics. As soon as I think the first time I did acid, I was 15. So like I kind of started at an early age. Now, when I was a kid, I was in foster care. I was a mess. Like I wasn't doing it for enlightenment. I was doing it for escape. So that was a whole different ball game, right? I had a near-death experience one time tripping on 5 hits of acid. That was not fun. And that's in my book as well, actually. But when I got older, and I didn't really want to, like, once I got in the military, I was struggling with PTSD. They had me on a bunch of medication. I didn't want to be on all that. And I was bodybuilding and I was doing well, but I still felt like it was like I still didn't know who I was. Like throughout my whole life, particularly in the military, right? People always told me I had a lot of potential, right? So clearly people were seeing something in me, but there was something in me that I wasn't seeing in myself. And I wanted to know, okay, what is this potential and how do I make it kinetic? How do I actually take that potential and alchemize it into being? And it took me, some massive amounts of deep diving to figure it out. And what I learned throughout the process, big, 30,000 foot view, is that I'm an empath. I'm a highly sensitive individual, and I have a gift when it comes to reading energy. But I grew up in a massive amount of trauma, probably past lives, trauma as well. So I had to first clear all that karma and all that trauma to even know how to connect to my heart, because my heart was so closed off, right? So I had my mommy wounds, I had my daddy wounds, I even had stepdaddy wounds and all this kind of stuff. And then I even created some karma in this lifetime. And finally, I was able to really activate my gift, because I got to a point where also, like, I couldn't work a regular 9-to-5 job. When I got out of the military, like, the military takes care of everything for you. You don't have to worry about setting up, like, doctor's appointments or doing your taxes or paying for rent. They cover everything. But then when you get out, you got to learn how to do all this stuff yourself, right? So it's like they don't really set you up for success to adult, outside of the military. And that was really tough for me to, like, figure out, at first, balancing my bills and working, and then also just trying to have a life. And so it really quickly, I think I was about 2 years where I worked in Las Vegas. I worked on the Las Vegas Strip. Not a bad place to work, but also I kind of grew out of that whole, like, party, lifestyle pretty quickly. And when I got out of that, I was like, well, I just can't do a job that I don't passionately love, right? Like, so at that time I was competing in bodybuilding. I was like, well, how do I make money bodybuilding? And I tried, but bodybuilders don't really make money unless you have a really good sponsor, or people that, or you're just selling a lot of drugs or something like that, which I didn't really want to do any of that. And I tried getting sponsorships, but none of that just worked out for me. And I'm actually very happy that it didn't, because, of reasons that I'll get into later on. But it wasn't until I found, well, I went to massage school that I really realized, hey, like, I'm pretty good at this and I'm helping people and I feel good. And then around that same time was when I found ayahuasca. And ayahuasca just completely changed my life.
Tell us about that experience.
Well, the first time I was in Las Vegas, and I was actually, I had a client that came over to my house, and I was doing some body work on her, and she told me, hey, there's an ayahuasca ceremony going on, down in Summerlin. Are you interested? And I was like, well, what's ayahuasca? I don't know what that is. So I started looking it up and I was like, oh, yes. Now, I was
So tell us,
excited.
what is it?
So ayahuasca is the combination of a vine and a plant. Now, there are actually a few different variations of ayahuasca that you can use, but for the sake of simplicity, we'll just stick to the chacruna and the bicapi. All right, so one contains the DMT, the other one contains an MAOI inhibitor. Now, the MAOI, the DMT, when you ingest it, the digestive tract will just destroy it and it won't activate, right? But when you consume the MAOI with it, That inhibits the enzyme that breaks down the DMT, so it makes it last in the body. Now there are other enzymes as well in there that are very healing and cleansing. And so when you consume this medicine, now imagine there are tens of thousands of different kinds of plants and roots in the Amazon jungle. So how they came to figure out how to cook these two together for a certain amount of time and extract this, like thousands of years ago, when they didn't have, like, that is magical in my opinion,
That is
right?
magical.
So that's really, at first, that's what really fascinated me, just about how this stuff was discovered. But the guy that I sat with is Metsa. He was actually on a Netflix documentary many, many years ago. I think it was
So this
called
is
The
your
Buying of
first
Soul.
experience. You're telling us about your first experience now? Okay. Okay.
So he was the facilitator, and I walked up to this pink house in Las Vegas, and I met my friend Tina Cat Courtney. She was his assistant at the time. Now she runs her own stuff down in Costa Rica. But I met Metsa, and this guy was just a mountain of a man. He was from Canada. He was French Canadian, but also, it seemed like he was from South America, probably because he lived down there for a few years. But when he initially went down there, he was struggling with heroin,
Oh,
and
wow.
he went down there, and the shaman that he worked with served him medicine and cleaned him up, and the medicine told him that he was to be a shaman. And then this shaman took him under his wing, and he worked with him for many years until, I think, after about 10 years, he started serving on his own. But so when I met him, he was already doing this for probably lifetimes, right? And I'll never forget, I've done a lot of psychedelics before, but this was different because what I realized is that, number one, this is a ceremonial experience, which I had never done any kind of ceremony in my life ever. I had never gone to church when I was a kid. I had not like I had gone to raves and partied and stuff like that. And I've never had that kind of structured environment. So that was very foreign to me, number one. Number two, I realized that this medicine would require me to fully surrender. And that scared the crap out of me. Because up until that point, right, I had just started, I was going to massage school and they were teaching me how to slow down. And the first time that I slowed down, I had a massive 2.5 hour long SER, somato-emotional release. So it looked like I was having a seizure. My best guess is probably because I have so much muscle that the muscle was like armor that I've been wearing, through my nervous system and in my fascia. So it was very, very dramatic, right? So
I
I'm
actually
wondering,
had a
like,
very
well,
similar experience when I started healing. It was like I was flopping around like a fish for like 2 hours straight on my floor. Like
really?
just flopping around my
All right,
arms,
let's
my
get that floppy
body.
going.
It was crazy. Yeah. Someone said to me, how did you not call the hospital? I'm like, I don't know. It just felt right, felt good. It was just
Right,
released and everything.
right. It feels amazing. I mean, I remember I felt like I was super tired and exhausted after I was done, but it was
Oh my
like a
God.
woo, just got some good work done kind of tired, right? So that had just happened a few months prior to me stepping into ayahuasca. So I was thinking, if just slowing down and meditating did that, what is this gonna do?
No kidding.
Right.
Oh my God.
So, and then I knew all I had all kinds of stuff, under there. I was like, what's gonna come up? I don't like who knows. And then I was like, you know what? I just gotta trust and let go. But I will say, I've also had bad trips before. So I was there. I was like, what if I had a bad trip? Can it kill me? Am I gonna die? Like all these crazy ideas. I was terrified. So we're sitting around in a circle, and the set and setting that Metsa created was incredible. Like it was so peaceful. At that time, I didn't really know how to handle that though. But I got used to it pretty quick. So when I went to go up to drink my first cup of ayahuasca, my heart was beating out of my chest so hard. Like I thought he could hear it, right? So he gives it to me like nothing. Okay, go lay down. So I go and I sit down, and I'm just monkey mind. It's going crazy, million miles a second, thinking, what's gonna happen? I don't feel it. Do I feel something? I don't know. Am I gonna feel something? What's gonna feel like? Blah, blah, blah. All over the place for probably like an hour, hour and a half, right? And then as I'm getting lost in my thought processes while I'm sitting here, suddenly this warm, slow, almost like I was getting wrapped in a cloud of relaxation. I felt like I was held, and I took the deepest breath of my life. And I felt, for the first time ever in my life, I felt the vibration of love. Never
Oh,
knew what
wow.
that felt like before. And once I felt that feeling of love, that changed everything because I realized everything that I thought was love before this, it was something else. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't love. And I was
Wow.
like, yes, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. So I sat into that feeling just in awe, reveling at like, wow, I didn't know life could get this good, right?
Right.
Like I was crying, everything was just so beautiful. And that night was mostly, I saw like some visions. The one thing I'd still remember to this day for whatever reason is I saw like a carnival that looked like it was on the corner where Santa Clara, California. No,
Okay.
Santa Cruz, California. You know, like I don't know, I think back to the movie The Lost Boys, right? Where they have like I was flying over near this place and I saw a carnival, and the carnival was like sacred geometry, and then I saw like a family standing there. I don't know who this family was, but I was like, well, okay, but I'll go with it.
Right.
And I don't really remember much else from that night. I just remember that feeling of love. And kind of like, I think that was the first time I've ever astral traveled too. And
Wow.
so after that night, I was like, yeah, baby, let's go. All right, I'm ready. You want to go deep again, right? So I sit down for
Of
the,
course.
because ceremonies, are 2 to 3 nights long usually. And I went down to sit in the second night. And ooh, so ayahuasca is an intelligent spirit, right? So
Okay.
ayahuasca understands our ego mind. So she understood that I needed to feel safe in order to let her in. And this is all unconscious behavior. I didn't understand any of this until many, many years later, right? But so I'm all excited and I'm like ready to jump in the deep end, right? Because I think it's going to be all unicorns and rainbows. And bam, she hit me so hard. And but it's okay. I was like, I mean, it sucked, yeah, but I was ready for it. But I'll
Right.
tell you what, how do I explain this? Have you ever seen the movie Lucy?
No.
No? Shit. Okay. Well, I was dissolving over and over and over again. But literally, like, I remember on my hands and knees, and it felt like literally my hands were dissolving from like I was sinking in quicksand into the ground. And
Okay.
I was starting to wonder, like, am I breathing? Can I breathe? Can I see? I was so deep, whether my eyes were open or closed, it was sacred geometry and shit everywhere. I was tripping my brains out, literally. And it felt
Wow.
like a hurricane of like the Icaros, like the music. It was activating this like hurricane-like feeling in my brain and just blasting through me, like I was getting pressure washed with energy. And as I
Wow.
was going through this, the first one, I was being birthed as a jaguar. And then I would frolic around the woods for a while, and then I would die, and then I would be reborn as a bee, and then I would buzz around for a little while as a bee, and then I would die, and I'd be reborn as a butterfly, and over and over and over and over again, being born,
Wow.
living, death, birth, living, death, over and over, like probably hundreds of times. It all
Wow.
happened so fast, I don't really remember, but I think by the end of that night, I lost about 15 pounds. Just purging out of the rear end, and also purging out of both ends. I think I got a gold star that night. But after I cleared all that out, it just completely changed my life. I realized that there's something special to this, and that I don't want to say I was obsessed or I was hooked, but I wanted to know more. Because I had been searching for so long for these answers. What is, who am I, real life, like all these things, and
I mean,
nothing,
everybody can relate to that. Everybody's searching for
right?
themselves.
Yeah, so nothing, for me personally, nothing spoke to me ever in my life like ayahuasca did. So I just started asking questions, and that was also when, of course, I'm in massage school, right? So I'm starting to work on clients, and suddenly I'm getting visions in my mind of like this stuff that they're going through. over time, ayahuasca taught me that I'm able to connect to people's trauma in their body and then extract it. Right.
Right.
It took me years how to learn that, but ultimately that's how she was teaching me. And then I would associate that with astrology. And really it was me just learning myself through these different modalities and combining them all together to really get to the bottom of, you know, knowing who I am. And through me knowing myself, it helped me understand everybody else at the same time. Right.
Right.
So that was really more one of the more significant ayahuasca ceremonies out of the probably 1600, you know, that I've sat in at this point. But let's go on to combo, because I could talk about ayahuasca for probably, you know,
yeah,
3 hours.
What's combo?
So combo is a frog medicine. It's a secretion that comes off of the Phyllomedusa bicolor. It's a green tree frog that lives down in Central and South America. And this secretion secretes it's a toxin technically, but when we utilize it for ourselves, it's like nature's vaccine. So it strengthens the immune system. It'll clean out and it'll purge out heavy metals, parasites, fungus, mold, yeast. It clears out what indigenous people call panema, or bad luck, negative energy. Indigenous people will use this before they go out hunting. It also helps to cleanse and open up the five senses. So you can hear better, you can see better, you can taste more, right? So it also clears out pheromones too. Like that was more relevant for the indigenous people. But the way that this was discovered was really fascinating too, is that in this village down in South America, a couple hundred years ago, there is this village that got really sick, right? All these village people got super sick, and the shamans and the medicine men and women tried everything they could to heal it up, but nothing worked. So Shaman Kampu, which was the guy that discovered it, he drank ayahuasca, and he asked ayahuasca, what do I do? How do I heal, you know, my people? So ayahuasca guided him to go sit under this tree and sit there and just wait. And eventually, very, very early in the morning, like 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, this little tree frog came and hopped on his shoulder. And ayahuasca guided him how to, you know, string him up and then scrape the stuff off his back, burn holes into the skin, and then mix this stuff with saliva or water, and then put the dots on the... I mean, that's pretty specific information, right?
Yes. Holy moly, that's
right.
Craziness.
It's wild. So, of course, he listened to ayahuasca, and he brought the tree frog back, and he extracted it and put it on everybody, and it healed the whole village. And
holy
everybody was
moly.
Good. So now, you know, and Big Pharma has been trying to replicate the neuropeptides that are in combo, but they can't do it because they can't understand the energetic and spiritual component to it.
Right. Yeah, that's a
Right?
huge piece. That's a huge piece.
Yeah, exactly. So there are two neuropeptides in particular that are 40 and 60 times stronger than morphine. So this is excellent for detoxing off of opiates, right? And it just it's dermorphine and dermenmorphine, I think, something like that. But also, it'll help with blood pressure. It'll help stabilize blood sugar. It'll reset your circadian rhythm and your hormones. But really, the biggest thing I found is it clears your mind. It'll clear your monkey mind, and it kind of like resets your mental acuity. So for people that are burnt out or that are just, sometimes people can get looped and wrapped in their head so much they can't stop. Combo is an excellent way. And the whole process lasts 30 minutes. So it's not like you have to get ready for weeks on end like you do with ayahuasca, right?
So how much do you take and how many times do you have to take it? What is the process like with that?
So you will, you have to be fasted for about 6 hours and very, very well hydrated, because it works with the hydration in your body. So you have to be extremely hydrated. And the doses is individual dependent. So at least the way I do it when I'm working with someone is I give someone a test dot, and based on how they respond to the test dot and also how I'm gauging their relationship to their fear, because it will bring up fear. All right. It is
Okay.
not a fun experience, I'll tell you that right now, but it's very effective and you feel great afterwards. So you do one test dot, you see how quickly it hits, you see, if there's any physiological shifts or changes, and you see how they respond after about 2, 3 minutes, how quickly it goes away. All these things are indicators to see exactly more how they're going to respond to a higher dose.
Okay.
Typically, like on average, I would say people respond to between 4 and 6 dots. All
Okay.
right. There's the anomaly, which, especially a lot of bigger guys or people that have a lot of toxins in their body, they'll need like 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 dots, or someone that's hypersensitive, usually someone that is highly psychic or very, very sensitive to energy, like external energies, will need much less.
Okay,
Right?
interesting. So,
So,
what do you mean by the dots? So, you have to burn the skin and then
yeah,
drop it
so let me
on?
see
How does
if
it
I
work?
can you see those right
Yes.
there? So those are combo dots.
Okay.
You have to burn little dots in your skin, and
So,
but
what
you
do you
just burn
use?
a juniper stick.
Okay.
So you take the juniper stick and you just take off the top layer, just the top layer of skin, but that opens up, it's sort of like opening up a wound to receive the medicine directly into the lymphatic system.
Got
So it absorbs very fast. You start feeling it within 30 seconds to a minute.
Wow. And then
Right?
what's the experience like?
You get really sick really fast. Initially you'll feel like heat and pressure moving from your neck up to your head. You'll start to feel like a pulsating sensation in your head. Your heart will start beating really hard, like you're having an anxiety attack. Okay.
Okay.
And then it'll start to go down. It'll move into your stomach. You'll get really nauseous. You could also have weird like sensations in your hand, your toes. I've even heard, ironically, a lot of people saying like in their nether regions too. Wherever it needs it goes.
Right.
But I see. In fact, I just served a group of 5 people last week, and two of the girls were really powerful healers. A lot of times, people that work with their hands or have very active chakras or energy sensitivity in their hands will do this little pterodactyl thing, and they'll like be stuck like that, like they can't
Happens
move
to
it.
me during breath work.
Huh?
That happens to me during breath work. I get
Yes, yes,
the
yes, yes. It'll happen during breath work. So there's some similar processes or shifts inside the body, like with the Bohr effect, that are similar to when you do breath work as well.
Interesting.
But this is probably the single best detox that you can do.
Okay.
It just any kind of gut issues, SIBO, leaky gut, candida especially, right? Any kind of biofilm, it'll clean all of that stuff out.
And so, what is preparing for that like? Like, if someone is on medications, do you have to be off of medications? Do you have to be off of everything? Who is eligible, or how do you tell if you're ready for this type of work?
Well, of course, the number one rule with any entheogen or any plant medicine is feeling called to it. But if you're not aware of it and you're trying to attain a certain result, combo is probably the safest out of all of them. It's not classified as a psychedelic. It's classified as a purgative. Okay.
Okay.
So with that, this is you can actually, I've gotten people off of SSRIs and antidepressants with this, but you can detox. Now you want to try to be off like at the very least for a couple days if you can. All
Okay.
right. But in circumstances where if you're just stuck or you're trying to but you can't, you're just in a really rough place. I've helped a couple dozen people actually get off of SSRIs with combo.
Wow.
Combo and then microdosing with Iboga as well.
Okay.
Afterwards, they're both very detoxifying and very cleansing. And so we're like speeding up the process of sort of wringing out the cells and cleaning out all the receptor sites that are in there and restoring the signaling processes at the cellular level.
Wow. So what happens after, like after these experiences? And I know you're not done talking about the different things that you work with, but
Oh,
so
for sure.
after ayahuasca and after a combo session, then you basically go back in the real world. And I know a lot of people fear ego death. And I mean, you're essentially going to come back a different person. So how do you integrate back into the world, like 3D life, 3D living? What's that like?
Fundamentally, this is why it's all about creating community, right? This is where, I do my best to stay in touch with people, also to get content out there so that if people are like, say I worked with them a month ago, they're, coming up across something, they can look at my content and I'm talking about something that's similar to what maybe they were going through, right? Like, there's all different kind of, this is why I wrote my books as well, right? So people have reference material, but the biggest thing is community. Because I feel like when we go back out into our environment, there's the same people, there's the same job, there's the same issues that need to be dealt with, right? This isn't a magic pill or a magic fix. This is a way to become aware and understand the who, what, when, where, and why of the circumstances that are in our life and our environment. So with the integration, because what I always like to say is the true ceremony starts after you leave ceremony. Life is the true ceremony. If we were a Buddhist monk and we were living, just meditating 12 hours a day, that'd be one thing. But really, I feel like our mission here as human beings at the very core is to do our own healing and then come out in the world and be that expression of that healing to attract the people around us that are also seeking that out so that we can help support them and pass that down and pass it on, right? But that's also going to require us to make changes and decisions that may not be the easiest. Like we may have an attachment. Like say you're in a job that you hate, but it pays the bills and it creates a certain lifestyle. Well, maybe a part of your lesson is that you have to let go of wanting to be in that particular lifestyle temporarily, right? You may have to lose everything, but then come back to getting it even better because the part of you had to know what that experience feels like so you can be humbled and really live your true purpose. And that's how your soul needs to learn. But a lot of times we are in these control dynamics and we are in these attachments to things, experience, people, places, jobs that we don't want that comfort level to change. So we have to really be willing to let go of the comfort level. And this is really with anything, right? Any health issue, any relationship issue, any job issue, right? Have to be willing to grow, and we are definitely in a massive growth season right now where all of our creature comforts there are problems with them if they're coming from a less than optimal place, meaning that anything in our life that is not for our highest good is being called out right now, right?
Amen.
So
It definitely
we
is.
have to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
And so, does the plant medicine help with these decisions? Does it make it easier to, end the relationship or quit the job? Or so, what the, yeah, tell us more about that.
It makes it clearer, and the clarity gives you the sense of responsibility to make that decision. So I wouldn't say it makes the decision easier because that's still, you got to feel your shit, right? And going in there and feeling all that is not comfortable, but it gives you the authentic wherewithal to have the understanding of why you need to make this change. And once you understand the dynamics of it and it makes sense, then you can go to that next level, which is not necessarily helped through plant medicine, maybe in some ways, but you have to surrender to the unknown and embrace that fear and follow what your heart feels is right. And that is the big thing. These medicines open your heart. So it gives you the tools to be able to take the actions, but at the end of the day, you are still the one that has to take that action. And sometimes taking that action is very uncomfortable. But I'll tell you what, once you do it once, you gain confidence and it gets easier because now you're trusting your heart more. And the more that you trust your heart and you move through life, the more directly that authentic expression starts to be magnified to you. You start to attract it like a magnet. But it's a process, right? So the transition essentially from the caterpillar to the butterfly, you have to go to a chrysalis phase where you break down, open up, step into, break down, open up, step into one little piece at a time, and you build this confidence in from your heart in a new way, and you start to trust your intuition. You start to trust your own judgment in your decision-making processes, and you stop relying on the outside sources that were telling you who you are. But that's not for your highest and best good.
And I feel like a lot
Right?
of us, even without like these experiences, we know the answer, but we go to other people and we ask the question, but in our gut, we know. I think it's more of like fear stepping in and being
It's
like,
fear.
you know what you
It's
need to
all
do, but
fear.
you're just procrastinating. So go ask another person. And like, we know what we need to do. Sometimes we need these experiences to push us over the edge.
100%. The more that we're willing to face our fear, the happier we're going to be. Let me tell you that right now.
So what do you believe the future of psychedelics and spirituality is? Like, do you think we're entering a new era of human potential, or like, what do you see happening?
Oh yeah. Are you kidding me? So as the collective consciousness vibration is raising, and we're exploring all these new worlds of all these entheogens and psychedelics, we're activating a dormant DNA. And as we're activating this, I mean, you're seeing it all over the place. People's gifts are popping up all over the place. I believe that I'd say 5, 10 years, this might sound kind of nuts right now, but I said it here first. We're going to be able to levitate. We're going to be able to move things with our mind. We're going to be telepathically communicating with each other and not even need to speak anymore. I mean, we can still, right? But I definitely believe that we're going to be able to do, like, we're going to be able to work in the dream realm. Like, we're going to be able to lucid dream and astral travel at will. But I also do think this too, psychedelics are a catalyst for us opening up. But ultimately, when we get to that place, the true healing comes from the frequency and vibration. So eventually, I believe that we're going to be able to utilize frequency and vibrational tools to get us to that place. We're not, like for now, our consciousness is still growing, our DNA is still activating. Eventually, we're not going to need that anymore. However, it's always going to be a pretty good tool to have on hand because, they will show you things and teach you things that you just can't learn from your logical mind. It's just not possible.
Totally. I've been told, and I feel like I've experienced this so many times. Like, all of a sudden, some random person will pop into my mind out of the blue, and I send them a message, and they're like, I was just thinking about you too. Like, how random is that? But it's not random at all. Like, we can already communicate, and I'll be thinking about a song, and I'll turn on my Spotify. Sure enough, that's the very first song that pops up. Like, we're already so connected. If we can let like have these ego deaths and let our true self shine through, man, the future
So
of the world is going to be insane.
I'd say it's going to be the most sane that it's been in a very long time. We're living in an insane world right now. But I'll
Yes,
also
insane.
say,
That's my slang for amazing.
yeah, I know, I
That's
just
just
mess
Lisa's
with you.
slang.
But I would also say too, oh man, I just lost my train of thought. I'm sorry. It'll come
No,
back
it's
to me,
all
I'm
good.
sure. Yeah,
No, it'll
obviously it
come
wasn't that
back to you.
important,
If it was meant to
but yeah.
be, maybe it wasn't meant to
Yes,
be.
very true, very true.
So I wanted to ask you though, like, if someone feels called to this work but doesn't know where to start, like, where do you even begin?
I mean, you can contact me and I can help you out. If I can't personally help you out, I'll get you to I'll point you in the right direction. I have a lot of friends in this world, people that, own healing centers in Mexico, Costa Rica, even here in the States, all over the place. So really the bottom line is you need to really, when you connect with someone or you meet someone that you're going to do this work with, you have to get to know them a little bit. You have to create a feeling of safety and really ask the hard questions because there's a lot of people out there that, aren't really, some people are still technically, I think, in their amateur phase, but they think that they're not,
Okay.
right?
So what kind of questions should we be asking?
Well,
How long have you been doing this for, perhaps?
How long? Or I would ask more personal questions, like what is the worst experience that you've ever had serving medicine?
Okay.
And what's the best experience, right? That way you can kind of get a feeling for, well, are they skirting around it and just trying to make it sound like it wasn't that bad? Or are they going to explain the lesson they learned from the experience that happened? Or are they going to blame it on, like, you want to look for all these cues and like read their psychology. If they're afraid that you're going to think, right? Like me, like I put it all out there, good, bad, ugly, because I feel like it's important to understand all the components of everything that's going on, right?
Yeah.
But someone that is still has not mastered themselves in this world will, I think, skate around the topics and or they're only love and light, and it's all very one-sided. Look, like the fact, like in particularly in my book, like when I got into Iboga, like I saw a guy. Like I wasn't personally there, but a guy that I was working with that was actually a mentor of mine. He killed somebody, and
Wow.
it was a really heartbreaking experience. And then he ended up dying a month later.
Oh my gosh.
He OD'd
So
on
tell us
ketamine.
more. What you haven't spoken about Iboga yet. So what is Iboga and what happened?
So I got into Iboga many, many years later, 2021. Iboga and Bufo, I kind of started working with them at the same time. And at that time, I was going through, like, I had worked a lot with ayahuasca, but I felt like I wasn't really getting to where I needed to go. I was in the middle of a really harsh custody battle. And I was experiencing a lot of really hard stuff in life, like financially, spiritually, the whole nine. So I was seeking out to go deeper because I said, still felt like there's some stuff I had to clear. And I had been looking for about a year, like trying to connect with people that serve this medicine. But even in the plant medicine community, it's very hard to find anyone that even works with it. I met one guy. He was just a little weird for me. He
Okay.
was just. He was just not really here in this dimension. And so I was scrolling one day on Instagram of all places, and I saw this post that said microdose Iboga, message me or something like that. Mike, what? You can microdose that? Okay. So I reached out, and his name was Combo Healing Me. I was like, all right, okay. So and I saw this guy's pictures. He was like a white dude from Hollywood.
Yeah,
I was like,
okay.
what? Okay, so I messaged him. He messaged me back right away. We jumped on a phone call, and it was like when I heard his voice, it was like we were old brothers, like catching up. There was this deep soul connection. I was like, wow, all right, like I am super intrigued. It felt exciting, and it's like this is a whole new start, this whole new world. So he ended up sending me, some Iboga. I started microdosing it. I'd say the first thing that I really felt when I started microdosing that was I could feel the vibration in my body, and it like turned up the dial on my intuition. So I could
Okay.
if I would ask myself a question, I would get an answer like cl much clearer. And
Okay.
I couldn't take stimulants with it either. It really sensitized my body. So it was like it gave me kind of like a smooth kind of energy. At first, the first couple of days, it felt a little bit like anxiety, but that went away to a more like vibrational energy. We were talking, and he was like, "Hey, I'm gonna be facilitating an Iboga journey in Las Vegas in March something or other in 2021." I was like, "Count me in. Let's go. Let's get it." So there wasn't really any specific meal preparation or like diet like you do f with ayahuasca. It was more a mental thing, just
So
mentally
what is
preparing.
Iboga used for?
Iboga is the most powerful medicine on the planet, and it is a bark that comes from Gabon, Africa, and
Okay.
it's the Bwiti tribe out in Gabon, Africa, are the ones that hold the rights to that. But they use it. Actually, the way that Iboga was discovered was this guy many, many, many years ago. His wife died. I think she had an illness or something. But his wife died, and he lost it. Right, so he just went walking, in the forest one day, and he got lost. He couldn't find his way back. He didn't have any food or water, so he was getting really hungry, and he ended up getting this root and eating it, right? And then he started tripping his brains out,
Oh,
and
wow.
it was Iboga. But his wife, he met his wife in the spirit world when he was tripping on this, and his wife
Wow.
that she was okay, and that this is how it was supposed to be, and that this is the gift that, that this whole traumatic experience, was meant to give him. So he has to bring it back to his people. And, they say, it was essentially speaking to God, and him speaking to his wife on the other side was a representation of him speaking to God. So,
Wow.
they, of course, they treat it with extreme reverence, and it's a very, very, very powerful medicine. It is the only plant medicine out there that can potentially kill you, but so you have to get an EKG and a liver panel test, because it's hard on your liver when it metabolizes, and also it can really drop your blood pressure really low, and it's very dehydrating. So you have to get an
Okay.
IV before and after flood dose, but because of the sharp increases and decreases, low blood pressure mixed with dehydration, it can be a deadly combination.
Oh,
So
wow.
anybody is interested there, make sure that you're extremely hydrated and always get an IV before you do a flood dose and after you get a flood dose as well. I would recommend that too. But it's not necessarily a fun experience. It's a 20, 24-hour long journey. So you really
Wow.
like it, it's a commitment. And you really got to be ready for it. There are four different ways that you can do it as well. There's ibogaine hydrochloride that is typically given in an IV. Then you have
Okay.
Ebota root bark, which in my opinion is the most efficient way, because it has all the additional alkaloids and whatnot to help support the cleansing process of the body. Then you have PTA and TA. PTA is partial total alkaloids. TA is total alkaloids, which there's only a difference of a few things that I did both. I didn't really notice the difference between the two, to be honest. But that's a very, like, when you're working with Iboga, you do a very in-depth intake form. Depending on their circumstances and situation, one of those, could definitely be better or not so better for whatever you're going through. But number one medicine in the world for addiction, and for especially for opiates. I've seen people be hooked on heroin for 20 years, go do a flood dose and completely change their life in a couple of days. Now, with that being said, like we were talking about earlier, going back into their life, all right, that's a whole
Right.
different ball game. And so normally the people that I know that work with Iboga, they actually have like places set up to where you can go live for a couple months to fully
Okay.
integrate into a new life and to meet new people, even get new jobs, all those kind of things. Because a lot of people that especially have been drug addicts for a long time, they're either homeless or their group of people or their households, they have all these very toxic lifestyles that they were in.
Yeah, and
And
attachments.
so trying to go back, yeah, you may not crave the drugs, but you're going to get back into some of those bad behavior patterns, and eventually that could lead back to it. Not to mention that you're so hypersensitive now that your body is so clean that you go back to
Right.
doing a fraction of what you're doing before, you can kill yourself really easy,
Right.
right? So
Right.
got to be really, really careful with that. So I did four flood doses myself in 4 months, and my life completely changed in every way that you can imagine. It crumbled at first. And I feel like a part of that was because during my fourth flood dose, well, for that particular time, I did Bufo, then I did ayahuasca that night, then the next day I did the Iboga, and then we were supposed to do Bufo again, but like, nah, that's good. I don't need to do that
Wow.
again. So I did a massive amount of medicine in that 1 week, but I found out that Bryce, who was facilitating the journey, he was injecting himself with ketamine the whole night. Now, I didn't really think much of it, except for the fact that 2 weeks after that ceremony, he had facilitated another ceremony. He was, everyone, healers included, he was the most powerful healer I ever met. And this is definitely the warning out there to everyone, okay? Because I fully believe in this guy, and I still love him to this day, right? But everyone has a shadow side, and he was unwilling to face that shadow side. We started seeing weird instances where he was starting to act weird or kind of hide from people here and there, but it was very subtle, and he was very good at hiding it, right?
Okay.
Like one day he just randomly fell in the shower and broke his forearm. And he was a pretty muscular dude, right? Like, I thought he was in pretty good shape, and he was young, he was like 38, so how the hell did you break your forearm in the shower?
Yeah.
Well, come to find out, he was starting to he was not only doing ketamine, he was drinking alcohol and he started smoking weed, and he was doing all these other things while he's serving this very sacred medicine, which is a big no-no, but nobody even knew that he was doing that until
Wow.
the So after my fourth flood dose, right, he did another ceremony that I wasn't able to make it to. It was only three people, but he did another ceremony, and during that ceremony, he also was injecting himself with ketamine, but this time he met up with a chick and he went down to a bar and he was drinking with this chick when he left the playlist on repeat. And I don't know how long he was gone for, but my friend said it was enough to make him feel like he was going crazy, because one song playing on repeat, on that medicine, that could cause psychosis. It's crazy.
Wow.
And anybody in their right mind, particularly a healer, would never ever do that. But he clearly wasn't in his right mind. So apparently the next morning, when next morning it's customary to do bufo, because when you do bufo after iboga, ground your energy as opposed to shoot you up out of your body like normal without iboga.
Okay.
So one of the people in particular, was a guy from Africa, and he set him up. There's different ways that you can serve bufo as well. You can do it standing up, laying down, sitting down. This particular time, he chose to serve it to him standing up. So this healing center too, it was in Mexico, and there was a little patio area out back, and then beyond the patio area, there's a little flimsy railing that went over a cliff, and the cliff went down probably about half a mile, right out to the
Okay.
ocean. So he served him his first hit hit a bufo, and apparently he said like he didn't go deep enough, right? So he's like, wait a minute, I want to give you another one. So he reloads it. He gives it to him now, and I learned this from Buffalo, my friend. He was standing there with him, and apparently, as soon as he gave him that second hit, like a door slammed or like something briefly distracted him for a split second, right? He looked away, and when he looked back, the dude in his bufo journey, he blacked out and he ran and he jumped over the railing and
Oh
killed
my
himself.
God.
So then, of course, after that, mind you have these other guys that are just coming out of a 20, 24-hour long iboga journey. Now they're all getting re-traumatized because now the federales are showing up and all these corrupt cops, and then Bryce is trying to pay him off and all kinds of bad stuff going on. And we got a phone call, we heard this, we were like, what is going, like, what happened, what's going on? And then this was coming up pretty close to his birthday. And we had a whole group of us that were, that loved him, and we were his assistants. And we were all like, we were getting ready to go down to Peru to film a documentary and to open up a new healing center, do all these big, beautiful things. And then, of course, that changed everything.
Wow.
But then he wasn't really communicating with us. He kind of shut down, understandably so. I'm sure he felt a lot of shame and guilt for whatever he did, but he went down to, I think it was Playa del Carmen, for his birthday, and got a phone call, a day later, had a heart attack.
Oh
He
my
ejected
gosh.
ketamine to the point where he stopped his heart.
Wow.
I feel like he had some really insidious demons in there, and maybe he was being attacked shamanically. I don't really know, but I do know that soon after that happened to him, I got there was a there were I went I just got crazy with the ketamine. I started injecting it, and but I was also doing it to heal people. But I got it's like ketamine and iboga came together in my brain and created a unified voice that became my consciousness or became my intuitive voice. And so I started to believe that I needed ketamine to heal people. And I was doing such powerful work. I was pulling demons out of people. I helped these three girls that were sex trafficked clear out some of the darkest stuff I ever felt like. And all this stuff is in my book, right? But I was doing some really deep, powerful work. And there was one particular time, it was actually November 11th of 2021. I went into my lab, what I called it, and I just went deep for like 7 days straight. And there
Wow.
was a period of time where I had this massive Kundalini activation. I felt a pop in my lower spine, then a pop in my sternum, then another pop in my throat chakra right here in my spine. And I felt Bryce's presence I thought in the moment that he was passing me a gift down to me, like his gift or something. But in retrospect, I think maybe it was more of his karmic lesson or his curse, because I spent about a year and a half after that. I had eight near-death experiences, and I had such a hard time shaking that. It like took over my consciousness. Now, I'm grateful to say that I survived everything, of course, right? And I survived for a reason. But that was, and I do believe that I had experienced that to know and understand experientially what it addicts, feel in order to be able to
Yeah,
heal themselves. But
1,000%.
the reason why I tell this story is because Bryce was the most powerful. I've seen this dude. He helped one person heal HIV. I didn't know that was
Wow.
freaking possible.
Yeah, me
He
either.
took a homeless guy, and he turned him around a year. He filmed it too. And he got him, the guy ended up becoming a millionaire. Like,
Wow.
this guy was the most powerful, most compassionate, most brutally intense healer I had ever met in my life. And for him to take a turn like that, it rocked me. I didn't understand how or why, but
Yeah,
also
that
in
must make
that
you
time
question
frame,
everything.
it did, it did. And then after he died, 6 months later, I went home to Massachusetts. My childhood best friend died the day I got there.
Wow.
And then, like 6 months later, my brother-in-law died. So I experienced a lot of death. And I started to wonder, like, why are all these people dying? Why am I alive? Like, what's keeping me going? I don't understand why I haven't died when, all these other people are dying. And but my underst I had to clear out and surrender and fully let go to fully come into the fullest version of myself. And this is just what my soul signed up for. I stopped trying to figure it out. I allowed it all to just be okay. And once I did finally let everything be okay, that's when I started attracting, good things and, turning things around. And it wasn't until that was done where I was finally able to finish writing this book.
Wow, what a beautiful story. And now you're helping so many people
Well,
with the medicine work.
I don't know if I'd call it beautiful,
No,
but
but it
I'd
is
say
beautiful. It's it,
that.
it's like you were being groomed for this version of you right now. And I would say like it was so incredibly challenging and so incredibly painful, but as you're talking about it, I can see the heart in it. I can see your heart in it. I can see how you learned all the lessons you learned from it. And now you're taking these lessons and you're sharing them with the world. It's almost like you had to go through all of that in order to be left this legacy to now implement so the world can heal. So it
Yeah,
transforms you
you're
into this
right.
powerful medicine man. And if you wouldn't have gone through all of that, I don't know if you'd be here in this chair talking about this
Very,
right now, or if you would have
very
even
true.
finished your damn book.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I am, I think it established a sense of gratitude in my heart and love in my heart that is, it's almost unable to put into words, but I'm sure you can feel it,
Yeah,
right?
you're
And it's the
glowing.
feeling. It's the feeling of it that really makes a big difference. So everything I do, I go out every day and I'm just present and sharing this feeling like I'm a Care Bear, right? Like Big Bad Care Bear, just sharing the love in my environment wherever I'm at. And I'll tell you what too, like the capacity for the healing work that I've been able to come to, I can just tune in at this point. It's almost automatic, and I can just see what's going on and connect the emotional, spiritual, and physical imbalances. And I just know what to do now. I don't even have to think about it. And for that, I am super grateful, because it wasn't always like that, right? I used to have to question and do extra. Like now, it just happens so fast. And I
Yeah.
just got out of the way, and I was like, all right, God, take the wheel. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Oh my gosh. So where can people find your book? Because your book goes into depth in all the subjects we just talked about, and you go into depth on
Yeah.
all of these stories. Where can people
Yes, ma'am.
find your book?
You can go to my website, spiritualbodybuilder.com. I have a link on there. You can go to Amazon and just type in the Indigo Flame and get it on there. I also have a link tree in my Instagram. You can go to spiritual_bodybuilder on my Instagram and get it there too.
Nice. So what do you want, or what do you hope readers will take away from the Indigo Flame and our conversation today? What are some last minute things you want to leave the audience with?
Well, the main thing, phrase that comes to my mind is, if I can do it, you can too, right? But really being able to see where I came from to where I'm at now, and understanding that it's possible, and sharing the learned lessons. I think that a lot of people struggle with many of the things that I've gone through, and I went way outside the box to figure these things out. So at the end of the book, I map out all the different processes and modalities that I have discovered that help with this healing. So identifying and understanding how these different natural modalities, not just with plant medicines or entheogens, but also with biohacking, with nutrition, with fitness, right, with peptides, all these different tools are tools in our toolkit. But you also have to understand, and this is what I really lay out in the book, is that there's an emotional and spiritual correspondence to any physical ailment. And when you can approach it like that, you understand I need to identify the emotional corresponding association to this physical issue. And you approach the healing process like that, that is where the true healing is. Listen to your body, learn to trust and learn the language of the body. And then there is a natural way to heal everything. I've seen it. I've, in a lot of cases, done it. And so I know it's out there, and a lot of people are starting to wake up to this understanding and seeing it out there. And this will just give you some more life lessons and understandings of seeing yourself exactly where you're at, and not being so like, I'm screwed, I'm doomed, life is over. Like, cancer is not a death sentence, diabetes is not a death sentence, depression, suicidal thoughts. Like, I spent more than half my life with suicidal thoughts. It's not over. You can come back from it. You just have to understand the language and learn the steps and where to go. And especially if you're one of those people out there, if you're resonating with this, I'm talking to you about if you have suicidal thoughts, or if you struggle with depression or bipolar or anxiety or any of these things, there is help for you. And suicide is not something that you want to go down. Do I have enough time to explain that a little bit more in detail?
Please, please, yes,
Yeah,
please. I feel like this
okay.
is a really important topic and a great way to end
Yeah.
this episode.
Yeah, understanding suicide is a very, very important concept, because essentially it means that we haven't been given the tools to process all of the spiritual expansion that we're meant to see because of our environment or our learned belief systems, right? But when someone commits suicide in this life, when you die, because I've had many near-death experiences, right? The unprocessed emotions come up to the surface. So you essentially become those unprocessed emotions. So when you die, it doesn't go away. You get sort of stuck in limbo, in this fourth dimensional dreamlike state of that particular feeling of shame or guilt, or that the deep emotional pain that you're trying to avoid, you now become that. And not only that, but the fourth dimension, when you leave your physical body, the time doesn't work like it does here. And we all have a particular time. You know how they say, like, it wasn't your time, or it was their time, right? Well, you're trying to control what time you go. We are all have a predestined time that we are meant to go, and we're not supposed to know that time. So essentially, from the time that you try to control it and you ended it to the time that it was meant to be, you have to sit in that space until that time elapses, and then your soul will be freed up. And but now, in that time we were sitting there, you basically have all the time in the world to think about, and well, not think, but feel into, what is this trying to teach me? Now, hopefully within that time, you'll figure it out, you'll clear it, and you'll be in a state of love. And then once you reach that level, then you can go on to the next phase. But you're more than likely going to have to reincarnate, right? Because you clearly didn't learn what your soul's was trying to teach you. But if you take that action, it's not going to make it go away. It's actually going to bring it right straight to your face and not let you go. So if you're thinking, oh, well, thanks, now what, right? Well, now you seek out the help from someone that understands this, so that they can help you navigate it. All you need is some guidance from someone that understands where you're at. That is literally it. And yes, granted, that's few and far between, but especially this particular situation, I've helped talk many people off the ledge. I'm a combat veteran myself. I have a lot of vet buddies that have had friends and family members that have taken their life, and it's so sad and so unfortunate. But that is one thing that is such a preventable thing. And this is where psychedelics really come into play. But if you or anyone you know is in a place where you're having suicidal thoughts or you're thinking or considering ended it, please reach out to me. I can help you. Okay?
I don't think there's anything left to say. Thank you so much for being here and for sharing your story and for being so open and raw and honest and just uplifting. Like you explain it, and it's a terrible story, but it's so uplifting at the same time. And that's why I called it
Yeah.
beautiful, because it's your
There's a silver
story.
lining. Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, what a powerful podcast. Thank you very much for having me on, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Me too. And to our audience, we will have the Spiritual Bodybuilders links in the show notes. And please do not forget to like and subscribe. And I'll just reiterate, reach out if you are having any type of suicidal thoughts, if you are depressed, if you are feeling any type of unease, get some help, reach out. Take care, everyone.